And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. Arthur, Bridget has a new wart on her finger here.
Two of them.
And wants to know, should she treat it and with what? I'm used to treating them by freezing them with liquid nitrogen.
I lost two of your words there.
Say it again.
What did Bridget do to her finger? I'm sorry.
She's got two warts.
On my finger. On my pointer finger.
On her first finger. She caught a toad last week, she says. that's actually what she said. But she's got two warts on that finger and wants to know, should she treat it or not?
Well, Bridget, now being that you're 16 years old, how long have you had these things?
Well, I had them about a year ago, and then I took salicylic acid and rubbed a Q-tip on it with the salicylic acid. It was like 20% salicylic acid or something. So then they both peeled off, but recently they came back.
In the same place?
Yeah, it's the same warts.
She thinks they're the same warts. Are they the same warts?
Do you know why they came back, Bridget?
Maybe the toad. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably are. Remember that these are caused by a virus. So, Mike, you know, for listeners out there, there's a lot of things that grow on our skin, right? I mean, it's a veritable zoo on our skin. We've got everything. Moles and seborrheic keratosis and skin tags and all sorts of things. Brown spots, freckles, and we get warts. But warts are caused by a virus called the papillomavirus. Now, Mike, as an aside, before we get into the whole wart discussion, do you think that possibly with all these teenagers and children getting the vaccine for human papillomavirus, do you think we'll see less warts?
It's a different organism, so my guess is no.
You know, I don't know because. With warts, there
is it a cross?
Are,
is there some cross sensitivity to this virus?
I believe there is, Mike. There's about 10 different strains of the human papillomavirus that cause warts. You know, there's actually 100 different strains out there, and about 10 of those commonly cause warts. And I do think there's some crossing over to the type that causes cancer, oral cancers and cervical cancers and things of that nature. So it will be interesting to see if there's any impact on it. But now back to you, Bridget.
Yes.
You have these warts. They're a nuisance, right?
Yeah, they're really gross.
Are they a nuisance to you?
Yeah,
they're gross.
Them
do they hurt?
No.
You can't play with them. You know,
they don't hurt.
But luckily, I don't have a boyfriend that would be holding my hand or anything because I feel like it would be gross to someone, you know.
All right. Well, grossness aside, Bridget, these are viruses and they're caused by viruses. And if you do manipulate them with your fingers, let's say you take your fingernail and you say, I'm going to get rid of this thing, I'm going to scratch it off. Then you will get the virus underneath your nails. And when you scratch another part of your body, it is very likely that you will spread the virus. Mm-hmm. Very common. And in fact, one of the things that we see in the operating room is, and you know this, Mike, we see when we burn off certain types of warts, we actually can get these warts in the noses of surgeons and nurses and anesthesiologists in the operating room. Which is exactly why the filters that we use in surgical masks are 0.1 micron, because that's small enough to filter out the virus.
So that prevents us when we burn them off from getting it. It's a reason to freeze them, matter of fact, so you don't get them. But it's very hard to freeze the ones, obviously, in the vocal cord area.
Right. But it is interesting, Mike, because all the time here we'll be letting the listeners know sometimes what goes on in the operating room. I'm constantly scolding people in the operating room. Put your mask on properly. I want to see it move when you breathe, because it's uncomfortable for many people to have that mask on right? And so many people sort of put it on, and not quite enough. But
that
it's
must
for
be
your
an
protection.
Outpatient
the doctor,
ORs, because in our ORs, everyone wears them just about perfectly.
Thank you, and I hope so. And, you know, with me also, because I'm known in my operating room as the pain in the we won't say what, because I... Right, it's for the patient to prevent aerosolization of bacteria and virus into the air, and it's also for the protection of healthcare workers so we don't get things from patients. All right, anyway, the question, we're getting off the subject here of your warts, Bridget. Warts can be treated in a number of ways, and the first question is, do we bother treating them at all? Because what you have had, which was a resolution of your wart and then it came back, is very, very common. And the reason we're talking about this today, there was a new publication that followed a group of 1,000 children, about 1,100 children in the Netherlands, which is different from Holland, by the way. I learned that a few weeks ago. In the Netherlands, they followed 1,100 children for 2 years, and it turns out that 65% of those children, the warts went away on their own with absolutely no treatment at all, with no scarring, by the way.
Wow.
So the question becomes, should we be treating these things? Because if you look at the types of treatments, Mike knows this, when there are so many different types of treatments, like literally dozens and dozens, he knows, and I know, that none are particularly effective. You know, some work some of the time, some work other times. We burn them off, we freeze them off, we use salicylic acid. We use the laser to destroy the blood supply. There's all sorts of things. There's chemotherapy that's used now, bleomycin, to remove these warts. The bottom line is, if they really, really bother you, and if they've been there for, you know, a number of months, it's reasonable to destroy the warts. And just like Mike said, back in the old days, in the 70s, we burned those off. No one wants to burn them off anymore. We freeze them. That's a very, very common method. And it's pretty effective. About 50, 60, 70% are destroyed with two freezing treatments. And the way we do that, by the way, it's real simple. You come to the office. We have something called liquid nitrogen or another substance that's very, very cold. And we spray it on. And then the thing sort of falls off. And often in the first treatment, it just gets a lot smaller. And then we do it again, and we get right down to the bottom of the wart, and we kill all the virus, and it's gone. So if it bothers you, particularly ones on your feet, by the way.
So the freezing is really the freezing that I do or have done for treatment with patients is probably the most effective way.
I think so. It's the simplest way also, because although it's more costly, granted, than the salicylic acid, which you can do on your own, and a certain percentage of people, something in the 30-40% range, will respond well to just those pharmacy remedies where you go and buy that goo that has the salicylic acid, and it kind of burns it off. You have to be very sure that it's a wart, by the way, and I would strongly recommend, you know, having someone, a nurse or a doctor, just eyeball it to make sure they're easy to diagnose. But what you don't want to do is use salicylic acid on, let's say, a mole, because you're not sure. Then you can
yeah, they're warts.
Because that mole might not be a mole. Okay.
They're warts.
We had a doctor. Oh, a doctor just looked at it. And
very intensely.
And so you're free to go ahead. You know, I would go to your neighborhood dermatologist or plastic surgeon and have a zap of the liquid nitrogen. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Botox and its new approval for something that I thought it was well approved for, that is crow's feet, and what it means to you. We're talking with the best in plastic surgery, one of the great distinguished consultants, Dr. Arthur Perry. And by the way, you can get Dr. Perry's recommendations for skin products at drperrys, P-E-R-R-Y-S.com. He has his own line, and we should mention that. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show.
Thank you. Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. Now, Arthur, I know you're probably not an expert on genital herpes, but there's a, while we were on break, we got a question on the email line. Anyone can send us email questions at udocs@gmail.com. If you're taking antiviral medication for herpes and you are also having sex, do you decrease the risk of transmission by taking the antiviral medication, and do you decrease it by 95% or more? Do you want to try that next week or 2 weeks from now rather than today?
I'll be the expert in 2 weeks, and I'll be giving an educated guess today.
Well, go ahead. So, we'll take the educated guess today, and then we'll do the real one in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think clearly the antivirals, the most common is Valtrex, where people take about every single day forever, clearly reduces the outbreaks. And it's during the outbreaks where there are open sores that a person is most infectious. And so my educated guess understanding the virus is that, yes, Valtrex will clearly decrease the chance of someone catching it from you. However, we all know that the best way to prevent that transmission is using a condom, because I think even if there's a little bit of virus, you can get the infection.
A vaccine, he asked also about from this. And I didn't know the answer.
I don't think there's a vaccine yet.
Tell me about this new Botox approval. Why would it not have already been approved for crow's feet?
Well, this is kind of a lesson for the world here about how the FDA works. You know, Botox was approved in... let me see if I can get this right. It was, I believe, was it 2001? I believe for the lines between the brows, the those vertical lines between the brows. You know, the ones that when you look at me, when I say something on the radio you don't like, you scowl and get those really deep lines, Mike. Those
absolutely
are the ones.
Absolutely. I mean, they're penetrating. Bridget, you don't have to agree with them and say I got those deep lines.
That's right. Look at this, because it's been a long time since I've done the Botox.
Jeez.
Yeah. So those were the lines.
And now rubbing them and smoothing them out.
I was not trying to agree.
Yeah, and frownies don't work, by the way. So it was 2002. I'm sorry, I was off by 1 year. 2002, FDA approved Botox for what's called the glabella. That's the fancy medical term for the lines between, the region between the two brows. And we get those vertical lines, and we know what they're for. They have an evolutionary advantage. You just have to look at a dog that's eating to see those lines. When another animal comes near the dog, it telegraphs what's about to happen. If they come closer when they're eating, they're going to get bitten. But in our society, we're a friendly, happy society. We don't need those lines, right?
So absolutely not.
We Botox those. We Botox those. Now,
thank
here's what
God.
Right. When the FDA approved Botox for cosmetic reasons in 2002, it was approved, by the way, for non-cosmetic reasons many years before that. That is for twitching muscles and torty